Welcome once again to Resolved. We all encounter difficult issues at times. Life can get tough, and it may seem impossible. But no matter what, Jesus Christ is the answer, and through Him, we can rise up and be more than conquerors. Now, let's join Pastor Tom Porter.
Turn with me in the book of Galatians. We're going to be using our Bibles this morning, and I pray that you'll turn now to the book of Galatians. And I want us to look at Galatians chapter 5 and verse 16. You know, a lot of people talk about God. A lot of people talk about Jesus. But I'm afraid a lot of people are not talking about the Holy Spirit and the importance of the Holy Spirit within our lives. I'm afraid we as pastors, we kind of put that aside. We're kind of maybe afraid to do it, or just don't think it's necessary, whatever the reason. But it's a shame to pastors not to speak about the Holy Spirit. It's been said that the Catholics love to talk about God, the Protestants and the Baptists. Baptists are not Protestants. I hope you know that. We did not come out of the Reformation. We did not protest. We talk about Jesus. And the Charismatics, they talk about the Holy Spirit. But the Holy Spirit is part of the Godhead. It's part of the Trinity. Yes. And so today, we're going to look at part one, and we'll conclude next week with part two of this series of walking in the Holy Spirit. Galatians 5:16, you're there, it says, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." Now that word there, flesh, that does not mean what, you know, the skin that we have. It is the old sin, the Adam that's within every believer, within every person that's ever been born. We're all born with the sin nature. And so God's word simply says, you still walk in the Spirit, that's a capital S, that's the Holy Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. To live in the flesh is to live outside of the Word of God. If you're living outside the Word of God, you're living in the flesh. It's sin. And many believers go their entire Christian life and never understand the necessity of the Holy Spirit's presence and work in our lives. Yet apart from the Holy Spirit, you and I simply cannot lead godly lives. You can't do it apart from the Holy Spirit. It's His grace that empowers us to resist sin and obey the Father. The Spirit helps us interpret Scriptures, helps us to fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And without the Holy Spirit, no one can have a genuinely fruitful and victorious Christian life. There have been times in my life, many times in my life, that I was defeated. My Christian walk wasn't what it should be. I'll never ascertain the pinnacle of, you know, Christendom until I get to heaven, and neither will you. But while we are living our lives in this world, it is imperative that we grab a hold of the truth of walking in the Spirit. Amen. So who is the Holy Spirit? There are only two choices upon the shelf: to live for God or to live for self. Right. Only two choices. Who is the Holy Spirit? Well, we're going to touch on that this morning. Along with God the Father and Jesus the Son, the Holy Spirit is a member of the Trinity, the Godhead. And as such, He is equally involved in the creation of the world. We'll see that this morning. Turn with me to the book of Genesis, chapter 1. That'd be the first book in the Bible, okay? Genesis, chapter 1. And like Jesus, the Holy Spirit is a person. So we'll see that He's part of the Trinity. We'll see that He's part of creation. And we will see that He is also a person with a personality, with a will, with emotions. He's not an impersonable force. So He's a member of the Trinity, but He's also a member of creation. Genesis 1, 2 says, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the what? The Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. In the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit would come and go. But in the beginning of the creation, the Holy Spirit hovered over the world. And then look at chapter 1, verse 26. And God said, let who? Let us. Let us do what? Let us make man in the image, in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and so forth and so on. So the Holy Spirit was even involved in the creation of the world. Not only that, turn with me to Matthew 28, verse 19. Matthew, first book in the New Testament. Matthew 28, 19, most of you know that, especially if we've gone through this month. Here we see the Trinity in one verse. Matthew 28, 19 says, go ye therefore, Jesus is speaking here, and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. There we see all three parts of the Trinity. Another time we saw that is when Jesus, you recall, when Jesus was being baptized and God spoke from heaven, this is my Son whom I'm well pleased, and the Holy Spirit, likened as a dove, descended upon Christ. There we have again all three parts of the Trinity. So he's part of the Trinity, he's part of creation, and also he's a person. We're going to be in John now, John chapter 14. We're going to be there for a while. We'll park here for a while so your fingers won't get too tired walking through the scriptures. John chapter 14, let's start at verse 16. Students of the Word of God this morning. John 14, 16, talking about the Holy Spirit being a person. He's not impersonal force. He's a person. And I will pray the Father, that's God, and I is Jesus, and he shall give you another comforter, that's the Holy Spirit, that he, the comforter, may abide with you, how long? Forever. How long is forever? Forever. Whew. Infinity. You say that to your mother? Mommy, I love you, infinity. You know, Mom says, I love you so much. I love you more. Well, I love you more. I love you, infinity. All right? That's God. Agape love, unconditional love. Look at verse 17. Even the Spirit of truth, whom, see it says whom, the world, it's not some impersonable thing. It is a person. The Holy Spirit is a person whom the world cannot receive. Why? Because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. Why? Because they've not accepted Christ as their Savior. They've not been quickened. They've not been made alive in Jesus. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. Look down at chapter 14 and verse 26. Same chapter, verse 26. But the Comforter, which is the who? Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, Jesus, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. There's all three of the Trinity right there. God has called the Holy Spirit in your lives for a very specific, listen up, purpose. So let's look at some of those. What does the Holy Spirit do in our lives? Perhaps you're sitting here today and you're a new Christian. And you're saying, you know, I've accepted Jesus, my Savior. Why, he came and knocked on my heart's door, and I felt that leading, and I felt that compulsion to accept Christ and ask him to forgive me of my sins. What was going on there as the Holy Spirit? How's the Holy Spirit convicting your heart, showing you that you're in need of a Savior? So what does the Holy Spirit do in our lives? And it's a shame that so many Christians live their entire Christian life defeated. They wonder why things don't go their way. Why things? I'm trying to live a Christian life, but I must be doing something wrong. Why aren't my prayers being answered like I want them to be answered, or like I think that they should be answered? Why is that? Why am I weak in the flesh? Why can't I overcome the sin in my life? That, you know, the Bible says that there are sins in our lives, that the devil knows those sins. I mean, what might bother you might not bother me a bit. I mean, you know, you might not like ice cream. You might not eat ice cream in overabundance, but it calls my name out in the middle of the night. I will be awakened and go,
come to the freezer. Butter pecan in the freezer.
So what sins bother you might not bother me. And that Satan knows those sins that so easily, the Bible says, besets us, that he can snare us with. And so maybe you're having problems there. Oh, man, if I can just overcome this, why can't I overcome? I've prayed. Why can't I overcome those sins that so easily beset me? Oh, I know I'm living outside the will of God right now. Now, I'm not saying you're not a Christian, okay? I'm not saying you're not a Christian. Christians can live outside the will of God because there's two choices upon the shelf, to live for God or live for self. And what the problem is, they're living for self. So, what does the Holy Spirit do in our lives? In John 14, 26, we already read that, but it teaches and reminds us of what we've learned. That's interesting. Brother Porter, I read my Bible a lot, but boy, I'm afraid I might get stumped if I tell somebody about Jesus and they ask a question and I can't answer it. Satan always gives us that fear. But can I tell you this morning what the Holy Spirit does? Look at that verse again in John 14, 26. It says, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I've said unto you. That's awesome. How many times have I stood behind the pulpit? Have I taught a Sunday school class? Have I sat and witnessed to somebody and all of a sudden the Holy Spirit just brings things to remembrance in my mind? I'm like, where'd that come from? That came from the Holy Spirit. That comes from the empower of the Holy Spirit. Some of you are nodding heads like, yeah, I know what he's talking about. The Holy Spirit, he's called the Comforter, the one that walks alongside us, okay? Doesn't that bring comfort to your soul? Don't be afraid to witness. Stay in the Word of God. That's why it's important to be in the Word of God. You say, well, I can't memorize all of it, neither can I. But you'll be amazed at the many times that the Holy Spirit will bring that thing to remembrance to you. And you can use that. And you go home and you're riding your car, whatever, you say, woohoo, that was awesome. Thank you, Jesus. Not thank you, Holy Spirit. Hang on. All right. Secondly, it seeks to testify about Jesus rather than himself. John 15. Turn with me to John 15, just over one chapter. John 15, 26. I hear the papers turning. That's good. Don't go to sleep. But when the Comforter is come, whom will I send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of, truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify, Jesus is saying, of me. The Holy Spirit never talks about himself. It all goes to Jesus. All praise, all honor goes to Jesus. The Holy Spirit points us to Jesus. It does not point us to himself. And that's where some, the charismatics and some, that's where they kind of get off key a little bit, because they put a lot of emphasis and overemphasize and glorify in the Holy Spirit. And we're not to do that. We're to thank God for the Holy Spirit. And he's part of the Trinity. Hello, three in one. He shall testify of me. Jesus must be praised. The emphasis is always upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Third thing the Holy Spirit does, it convicts us of sin, righteousness, and judgment. Look at John 16, another chapter over, John 16 and verse 8. And when he has come, he will reprove or convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. That's another part of the Holy Spirit. That's what he does in our lives. And he'll convict us. And look at verse 9, of sin, because they believing not in me. You see, people think there's another way to get to heaven, and they have to be convicted of their sins. and to see that their sin separates them from God. Of righteousness, verse 10 says, because I go to my Father and ye see me no more. And then 11, of judgment, because the prince of this world, who is that? That's Slewfoot, that's Satan, the accuser. Satan will be judged. Another thing that the Holy Spirit does, he guides us into all truth. He guides us into all truth. Don't you want to be there? I know I do, because I don't know all truth. I know Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. But when it comes to the things of God, I want to be guided into all truth. And I fail at that. Many a times I fail at that. Why? Because I lean upon my own wisdom. I lean upon my own knowledge, so to speak. And I'm not guarding my tongue. I'm not guarding my thoughts. And I'm not saying, oh, wait a minute, before I make a judgment, before I make a statement, let's seek the will of God. And many a times, because my weak flesh, I will make a judgment and then I have to retrace my steps. No, it was wrong. Shouldn't have done that. In John 16, 13, it guides us into all truth. It says, howbeit, when he, that's the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. You see, I didn't say that. The Word of God says that this morning. For he shall not speak of himself, the Holy Spirit, not speaking of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. Amen. Oh, man. Holy Spirit gets a message from God, and he shares that with us. The Holy Spirit will not guide you contrary to the things of God. You know, Brother Porter, it's just, I feel it's my will. I just need to kill my wife. I know divorce is wrong, so I think I'll just kill her. And I think the Holy Spirit has led me to say that. Wrong. That's not, you know, Brother Porter, I think it's okay that, you know, we're going to go ride motorcycles on Saturday, and let's get in with one of these poker runs, and let's stop at 6 or 7 different bars and drink a bunch of beer. You know, it gets me, sometimes the police enter into that thing too. The policemen do that ride motorcycles. And I'm thinking, they're going from bar to bar and they're all drinking. And I think, you know, that would be a good thing for us to do. I think the motorcycle ministry, we ought to start doing that. I think the Holy Spirit's leading me to do that. Get out of my office. Go on with yourself. No. The Spirit will lead us into all truth, and he will not be contrary to the things of God. Another thing the Holy Spirit does. See, the Holy Spirit does a lot. And when we as Christians, we negate the power of the Holy Spirit because we want to walk in our flesh, look at what all we're missing. We're on point E right now. Here we go. John 16, 14. He glorifies Christ. Once again, Holy Spirit glorifies Christ. He shall glorify me, Jesus says, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. Now turn over to Romans. We've left John. Go to Romans chapter 8, and let's look at a few more. This is awesome. And this is something that we have been told since the day that we accepted Christ as our Savior. We've been told this. And I'm speaking to Christians this morning, okay? And if you're not saved this morning and you're wondering, man, what is all this about? We're praying that the Holy Spirit will convict you. Even a church member can be saved. Amen. I was one, all right? Romans 8:11 says, but if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, that's the Holy Spirit, where does he dwell? In us. As believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken or give life to your mortal bodies by the Spirit that does what? Dwelleth in you. A person is filled with the Holy Spirit when they are living in obedience to God. When we are walking in God's will for our life, We're not living for the flesh, we're living for the Spirit that dwells within us, then that's a wonderful thing. We're in the will of God. What's another thing the Holy Spirit does? It reveals the Lord's plan for us. Aha, that's a good one. What's the Lord's plan for us? I'm glad you asked. Romans 8:14. Just down a few more verses. For as many as are, what? Led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. That's good. Have you ever felt the Holy Spirit nudge you to do something? May I say we ought to feel that every day. Amen. Every day. Oh, I remember back in 1974, Holy Spirit nudged me, and I ain't been nudged since. Guess where he's walking? The Holy Spirit. Thank God for the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit needs to nudge us each and every day, moment by moment. I don't know about you, but I'm a sinner. And I need that comforter nudging me. Uh-uh, Porter. No. Uh-uh. No. Go this way. Do this. You say, does that really happen to you? Yes, it does. It does. And we as Christians ought to desire that in our hearts. We ought to desire that. Have you ever made this statement? I have. I'm a man now. I can do what I want. You ever fall into that trap? I'm an adult now. I told my wife one day. This was years ago. I'm an adult. I'm my own man. Sounds good, doesn't it? Or I'm my own woman. I've been liberated. That's a trap of Satan. We've got to be nudged every day. He gives us assurance that we are the child of God. This is great. Romans, are you still there? Romans 8, look at verse 15. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Daddy, Father. The Spirit, verse 16, itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. The Hebrews use this word Abba. It's a term of endearment. It's like how we say daddy. You know, that's my father, but you really want to get intimate, that's my daddy. Okay? That's my daddy. And the Hebrews, they didn't like to say that. They wouldn't say that. I shouldn't say they didn't like it, but they wouldn't say that a lot because that was such a term of endearment. They didn't want to lessen the impact of that word, daddy. So they didn't pin that very much. But Abba, Father, it's the same word when Jesus was hung on the cross and he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Daddy, Daddy, why have you forsaken me? A preacher one time found himself in the hospital being prepped for cancer surgery. He's overcome lung cancer. He's overcome other types of cancer, prostate cancer. And now they removed a mass, couldn't get it all, about the size of a softball. And I know that this gentleman has gone and stood beside beds and held people's hands and said, I want to pray for you because I know you're going through some rough waters right now. Now it's his turn. Now it's his turn. And he is in contact with his Creator. Spare him, to heal him. God gives us the assurance that we're a child of God. And then he equips us with spiritual gifts. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Now these are the diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. Get that, diversities. There's a distribution that God gives to us of gifts. In order to have the unity, he gives different gifts to different individuals. The Greek word for gift here is charisma. Some people try to make that word apply to speaking in tongues. They speak of the charismatic movement. Not so. as the word refers to all the gifts which the Holy Spirit gives to the believers in the church. All the gifts. 1 Corinthians 12:7-8 says, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. The word man is a verse in the Greek. It says, the word is anthropos, which is a generic term. It means man, woman, boy, or girl. It's not gender specific. It doesn't matter who you are. If you're a child of God, God, this Holy Spirit, will give you a gift. Maybe two gifts, maybe three. You've been in the put into the body of believers as a member of the body, and you are to function as a member of the body of Christ. You see, we live with a purpose. We want to walk in the Spirit. We want to be in the will of God, and we want to be in tune with the Holy Spirit. We want the prodding of the Holy Spirit. We want that nudging. We want to be guided by Him, not by our flesh, not by our wants, not by ourselves. What is a gift of the Spirit? It's a capacity for service. It's a function. Dr. Lewis Sperry says, a gift in the spiritual sense means the Holy Spirit doing a particular service through the believer that's using the believer to do it. It could be the gift of teaching. Some people have that gift of teaching. It could be the gift of preaching. It could be the gift of hospitality. It could be the gift of administration. There are many gifts, only one Spirit. It should be noted that it must be done in the power of the Spirit of God. We are nothing. We are nothing. We are powerless without the moving of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Amen. We are powerless. And that's what I fear. I do not want to live as your pastor powerless. I don't want that anymore. I want the power of God on my life. I want the power of God on every believer in this church. That's the key. That's what will glorify Jesus Christ. That we walk in the power, not in the flesh. Got Richard Kaiser. He can play the guitar. He can play it. He can pick it. He has won every award, Chet Atkins Award that can be awarded in Nashville. He's always their host speaker at the Chet Atkins Award in Nashville. The guy can pick a guitar. He's a Christian, and we just love to watch him play and listen to him. He's been here many a time. But he will tell you that I don't want to do this in the flesh. I want the power of the Holy Spirit so that what I do and what I play will speak to the hearts of men and women and boys and girls. Singers can come up here and sing. We did an exercise. I did a judging on with ACE. Not ACE. Hello. What's the Christian education that you... ACE competition. And we had one person... We did an illustration for them. We had one person stand with the mic and sing Amazing Grace. And just wail that thing. I mean... just lean back and wail and just move around and everything else. Then we had another student come in, an adult actually, and stood there and under the power of the Holy Spirit, sing that song. Wow, what a difference. What a difference. You see, the gifts of the Spirit is not our talents. The gift of the Spirit comes from the Holy Spirit. And uses us to deliver that gift. My soul. The Holy Spirit gives power, especially for evangelism. You don't need to turn to it for the sake of time, but Acts 1:7 says, and he saith unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which of the Father hath put in his own power. In verse 8, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me into Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the othermost parts of the world. We need to pray before you witness and go on visitation. A lot of people, you know, they just go on visitation and they just go in their own power. Good night. Man, it's Monday night. Got to go. Man, it's 6 o'clock. I got to go. Got to get there. You know, what will they think if I don't get there? Yeah, give me a map. Give me something. Give me some bread. Give me a cookie. I'll go, you know. Hey, I'm Temple Baptist Church. Here's your cookies. Thanks for coming. God bless you. Walk out the door. Well, that was great, wasn't it? But it's a time when you get with the Lord and you say, Lord, tonight I'm going on visitation. Or maybe Saturday morning at 10 a.m. I'm going on visitation. And Lord, I'm not going to go into my own flesh. I want the Holy Spirit to empower me, cause things to my remembrance so I'll know what to say. Help me be kind. Help the gifts that you've given to me to be able to use those gifts. You'll be amazed at the difference of that. If we'll pray in the right spirit with the right heart attitude when you pray and get with God, I'm talking about getting in touch with Jesus. Man, it'll make a difference in your life. Things will happen in your life through the day that you'll just love. You'll think, man, praise God for that. And things will happen that day that you'll absolutely hate. But you'll be able to say, it's okay. That's just Satan buffeting me. That's just Satan throwing his fiery darts at me. Man, I'm in a battle. See the difference? Instead of saying, oh, man, oh, God, I can't believe that's going to happen. That's terrible. That's just bananas. I'm just going to quit. Curse God and die. That's the easy way out. Ah. You see, the Holy Spirit intercedes for us. In Romans 8:26, it says, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. You know what those are, infirmities? A mother asked her little child, do you know what the infirmities are? And the little boy said, yeah, that means God, that Jesus has my hurt feelings in his heart too. The infirmities. He's touched with the feelings of our infirmities, the Bible says. Helped our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself that lives within us maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Amen. Have you ever done that? Have you ever gone to God? You say, man, you are so engulfed in a situation and you just don't even know how to pray. You don't even know what to say. Man, I've been there, and I bet you have too. And it's just, you don't know what to say. You are so just distraught over a situation. Maybe it's cancer. Maybe it's, you know, some illness. Maybe it's a death in the family. Maybe it's a tragedy that's happened in the family. You know, maybe you stepped out of the will of God, and something bad has happened to you. Oh, man, the consequences of that. And you get with God. You say, God, I'm sorry. And you just have this groaning, you don't even know what to say. You can't even verbalize it. But you know what? The Holy Spirit takes that groaning and takes it to Jesus. And Jesus interprets it and gives it to God the Father. Amen. The creator of the universe. The one that made us, that created us. Do we not have an awesome God? Doesn't he have there's a purpose for the Trinity. There's a direct purpose for the Holy Spirit in our lives. Then lastly, he seals our salvation. Ephesians 1:13 says, in whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of the truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. John 14:7, we read it earlier, it uses the word shall. S-H-A-L-L, shall. My sister was a architectural secretary, executive secretary for architectural firm in St. Petersburg, Florida, many years ago. And they were building buildings like crazy back in the mid-80s in St. Petersburg. And their lawyer said, we want you to change, or the architectural firm told the lawyers, we want you to change all our contracts from we will finish on this date, we will use this material, we will, so on and so on. He changed it to we shall finish on this date, we shall use this material. The shall denotes, it's a stronger word than we will. It denotes kind of like finality, assurance. And that's what we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what the Holy Spirit is doing in this verse. It says, we are sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Oh, praise God. Do you want to live your life real peace? With contentment, with joy in your life? It starts with yielding yourself to the Holy Spirit.
Hello, friends. This is Pastor Tom Porter of Temple Baptist Church in Titusville, Florida. I would like to thank you for joining me in this podcast and bringing the good news that Jesus Christ is the risen Savior. There is no problem too big and no blessing too small when Jesus is the Lord of our lives. I would like to ask you a question. When you die, where will you spend eternity? Will you spend it with Jesus forever or be eternally separated from Him? You know, the Bible says, "Whosoever calleth upon the Lord Jesus Christ shall be saved from their sins." You know, it's God's desire for you to have faith in His Son, Jesus Christ. Your sins have separated you from God. You must admit to God that you're a sinner and ask Jesus to forgive you of your sins. Jesus bridges that gap between you on this earth and heaven. Will you accept Jesus as your personal Savior today? It's easier than you think. You can pray this prayer with me. Dear Jesus, I admit to you that I'm a sinner. I realize that you paid the penalty for my sins on the cross, and I want to receive you into my life right now. Save me from my sins. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you just prayed that prayer with me, then you've been born into the family of God.
That's our program for today. Thanks for listening to Resolved. Please visit us online at www.templebc.net. And remember, Jesus is Lord. So take care and God bless you.